This is a podcast from WILL AM 580. To support our station, please visit www.willpledge.org. That's www.willpledge.org.
This is the AM 580 News Daily Podcast for Friday, September 8th. I'm Tom Rogers. Coming up, we'll look at the global climate change and how that may change the nation's forests. We'll also get a weekend forecast from meteorologist Ed Kieser. First, a look at today's news. University of Illinois will seek an additional $100 million from the state in its fiscal 2008 budget request. The largest portion of those operating funds represents a 4% pay raise for faculty and staff. President Joseph White says keeping and rewarding outstanding faculty has been one of the leading concerns the last few years.
I think we've mounted, you know, pretty decent salary programs considering the hard budget times we've been through. We'd like to do better. Certainly our top priority is retaining and helping to develop the very best faculty to create and maintain a great university.
U of I trustees approved the budget request Thursday, which now goes to the Illinois Board of Higher Education. In a separate capital budget request, the university is also seeking more than $260 million for campus repairs and renovations. The biggest single project is the remodeling of Lincoln Hall in the Urbana campus. White says he's optimistic since the U of I's current fiscal budget saw an increase in the state for the first time in 5 years this year. U of I trustees say they like the idea of an online campus, but a few say it's being pushed through too fast to ensure academic quality. AM 580's Jeff Bossert reports.
The Board of Trustees Thursday heard a formal presentation on the Global Campus Initiative. U of I President Joseph White and Special Assistant Chet Gardner say the plan could move the university to the forefront in online ventures. But Trustee Robert Sperling questioned if other peer institutions have avoided such a move out of fear it would hurt their academic reputations. Only a few schools, including the University of Phoenix, have an online campus. Trustee Naranjan Shah says he backs the move, but thinks it deserves more than a 15-minute presentation.
I'm just totally surprised and shocked how quickly we are doing it, how less we are informed about it. I have no problem with the idea. I support the idea. Please don't misunderstand me. But I think the way we are going about doing it, the process, I question that. Not that it is wrong, I just don't understand it.
U of I officials will ask trustees to approve the online venture by the November board meeting with hopes of enrolling students for next fall. White says other universities tried online programs in the mid-90s and failed, but he believes the U of I's plan can be highly innovative and effective. I'm Jeff Bossert, AM 580 News.
The Illinois State Board of Elections has scheduled another special meeting for this afternoon about whether to put Socialist Equality Party candidate Joe Parnarauskas' name on the Illinois Senate 52nd District ballot. AM 580's Jim Meadows has more.
The deadline for certifying the November ballot in Illinois passed last week, but the State Board of Elections is still deadlocked when it comes to Joe Parnarauskas of Westville. Democrats have challenged Parnarauskas' ballot petitions, and that had the elections board voting 4-4 along party lines last week and at a special meeting yesterday. Parnarauskas predicts one Democratic vote on the elections board will now shift, allowing his name to go on the ballot with an objection pending. But if the deadlock continues, State Elections Board spokesman Steve Sturm says the board could issue a ruling explaining whether a tie vote means Parnarauskas' name stays or goes. Both actions would have the same effect of sending the dispute to court for a judge to decide. Parnarauskas is running against Democrat Mike Frerichs and Republican Judy Myers for the Illinois Senate seat currently held by Republican Rick Winkle. I'm Jim Meadows, AM 580 News.
Illinois Governor Ral Blagojevich is sounding off on his predecessor's prison sentence. This week, former Illinois Governor George Ryan was given 6.5 years in federal prison for racketeering and fraud. Blagojevich says the sentence is about justice and not politics, but at a forum in Chicago yesterday, he didn't shy away from tying Ryan to his Republican opponent in the November election, State Treasurer Judy Bart Topinka.
She was there when he had a bloated state payroll, when he was underfunding our schools and underfunding our pensions and shortchanging health care. And she didn't lift a finger, didn't say a thing, didn't complain, didn't try to change any of that. And so what I think this race is about is a different way of governing.
Meanwhile, Topinka's pick for Lieutenant Governor Joe Burkett says it's Ryan that's guilty and not Topinka. He says Blagojevich should worry about investigations into his own administration. For the last year, an Eastern Illinois University student has been drawing the portraits of the Illinois servicemen lost in Iraq and Afghanistan. The result is a stark exhibit that opened yesterday on the University of Illinois campus. Cameron Schilling says most of the families he's approached for pictures have been very cooperative. From those pictures, he's created 132 pencil drawings, some of soldiers in dress uniform, others smiling in civilian clothes. Schilling says his experience with the sister of Champaign native Nathaniel Moore further convinced him that sharing the portraits with families was a worthwhile project.
She got it, and she actually sent me probably the nicest letter I've ever gotten and a sketchbook, you know, back. And so, I mean, it's just memorable because it was one of the first ones, and it maybe solidified what I was doing was right, and I need to, you know, keep doing it.
The exhibit has traveled to Chicago, DuQuoin, and Springfield. Phil Martini of suburban Chicago says it affects him every time he sees it. He lost his son, Phil Jr., back in April. Martini says serving in the Marines helped his son find direction in his life and consider social work as a career after the service.
If you had known my son before he went into the Marine Corps, the last thing on earth you would have thought he would be is a social worker. So I want to thank the Marine Corps for making such a fine young man out of my son.
The Portrait of a Soldier exhibit runs through next Tuesday at the Illini Union Art Gallery. For the latest newscast online, go to will.uiuc.edu/news. This is the AM 580 News Daily Podcast. I'm Tom Rogers. In northern Wisconsin, they're finding that gases such as carbon dioxide and ozone will change the makeup of what survives in a future forest. An open-air experiment called the Aspen Face Project has been testing trees in elevated levels of ozone and carbon dioxide for the last 10 years. But they don't know whether the forest can change as quickly as the climate does. The Great Lakes Radio Consortium's Bob Kelleher has more.
We're standing inside a circle of trees. Paper birch, aspen, and sugar maples may be 15 feet high. And they're surrounded by a ring of large white pipes spraying the trees with gases. That's the high-pitched noise. Among 12 different circles of trees, some get carbon dioxide, or ozone, or a combination. These are the very gases believed responsible for changing the climate. They hold in the Earth's warmth, forcing surface temperatures higher. Dave Karnosky with Michigan Technological University heads the Aspen Face Project near Rhinelander, Wisconsin. Karnosky's trying to predict how these gases will affect the northern forest.
Those species with aspen and aspen mixed with birch and maple make up a huge portion of our northern forests, and there was a lot of interest by industry as well as to what's going to happen in the future as these greenhouse gases continue to build up in the atmosphere.
Even 10 years ago when this project started, it was clear that carbon dioxide and ozone levels were on the increase. Ozone is destructive. It's bad for people and for plants. Carbon dioxide, on the other hand, is what we exhale and what green plants need to grow. Both gases have been on the increase largely due to burning fossil fuels, such as in coal-fired power plants and in cars and trucks. Karnosky says he knew aspen were quite responsive to both CO2 and ozone.
We weren't sure much about the interaction, but we were sure interested in what would happen with that because those two pollutants are both increasing about the same rate in the atmosphere.
The Aspen Face Project has shown that most trees grow well when exposed to carbon dioxide, and most do poorly in ozone. With the gases combined, bad effects tend to offset the good ones. But results vary greatly between the different kinds of trees, and even within a single species of trees like aspen. Karnosky has found there's a tremendous range of genetic variation, even among the relatively few trees they've tested. That variation makes clear predictions difficult.
It's very tough to make a single prediction for species or individuals within species. There's so much genetic variation. So that's been one of the, I think, kind of the highlights from what I see in terms of a bit of a surprise for us.
That genetic variation could be the forest salvation. Karnosky thinks that if some aspens, for example, die off from ozone, maybe others will do okay and fill the forest back in. Sugar maples, which seem to be more tolerant of ozone, could replace some aspen and birch. Then the mix of trees in the forest would change, but the forest would survive. But there could be problems if the air changes the forest too quickly. Neil Nelson is a plant physiologist with the U.S. Forest Service. Nelson says the region's paper and pulp industries rely heavily on aspen trees. He's uncertain how quickly the forest and forest industry can respond if aspen begins to die off, and how long it might take for other trees to grow in.
One of my colleagues has said, you know, the key issue may be whether things change too fast for our society and economy to adjust to. And I think that's an open question. There seems to be great plasticity, and we aren't quite there in terms of predicting from a forest management standpoint what these results mean.
It takes time to grow trees, maybe too much time if the climate suddenly shifts. The Aspen Face Project has already provided regulators preliminary data on ozone. It could become the basis for future pollution law. But even 10 years into the Aspen Face Project, there's still a lot more data to harvest among the aspen and hardwoods. For the GLRC, I'm Bob Kelleher.
The GLRC is a production of Michigan Radio. Support comes from the DTE Energy Foundation, the George Gund Foundation, and the Gaylord and Dorothy Donnelly Foundation. You can subscribe to the GLRC podcast at glrc.org.
Well, we could say the weekend looks, well, half rainy, depending on which part of Illinois and Indiana you're in. But we do see sunshine for the most part today. Our meteorologist, Ed Kieser, says it'll be mostly sunny this morning, a mix of clouds and sun, with a few isolated showers and thunderstorms popping up during the afternoon across the two states. The highs between 80 in northeast Indiana and 86 in southwest Illinois. For tonight, in the north, increasing clouds and a few scattered showers possible after midnight. Elsewhere, clear to partly cloudy and lows ranging between 53 and 60. For tomorrow, in the north, mostly cloudy with scattered showers and thunderstorms. In central sections, increasing clouds with a chance of showers and storms late in the day. And in the south, still mostly sunny for Saturday. Highs ranging from 70 in northwest Illinois to 86 in the far south. And then on Sunday, partly to mostly cloudy with scattered showers and thunderstorms across the two states. And highs from around 70 in northern Illinois to the low 80s in the south. This has been the AM 580 News Daily Podcast for Friday, September 8th. You can find podcasts of Focus 580, the afternoon magazine, agricultural programming, and other helpful information on our website, will.uiuc.edu. I'm Tom Rogers, AM 580 News.